This morning I'm going to be speaking on a star, and namely a star that came out of Jacob. This was a prophecy made long ago by Balaam, and he said, "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Now Balaam, he's kind of an interesting Old Testament prophet in that he's kind of a bit of a contradiction. At times it seems he's walking with the Lord. He certainly got revelation from the Lord, and yet so often he did not walk with the Lord. And he was actually a prophet for hire. He was paid to go out and make these prophecies, and not a true prophet of God in that sense. And when Balaam was led to make this prophecy from God, at this time Israel was journeying through the wilderness, and they were now approaching the promised land, looking to come into it. And he says that there is a star and a scepter. These are both signs and substance of the prophecy. Because we know later on, a literal star would guide the Magi from the east to the star, that is Jesus, as we read in Matthew 2, verse 2. Also speaks of a scepter, which would come out of Israel. A scepter is a staff, a rod, a branch. It can even mean a tribe of Israel. And in that same fulfillment of Matthew 2, verse 2, the Magi came to worship a king, Jesus, who is the scepter and will one day rule with a scepter, that is, a rod of iron, in Revelation 19, verse 15. So what led Balaam to make this amazing prophecy? Well, I'll go over a bit of the account in Numbers 22, chapter 22 to 24, because we read it, as I said, these Israelites, they were coming into the promised land, and they had come to a land called Ammon and asked for safe passage just to simply pass through. They didn't want to take anything. They just wanted to make it to their own land. And this was a land bridge that they had to go through. And they were denied access. And so a battle ensues. And God gives Israel the victory. Now, as the Israelites set up camp to the neighboring country of Moab, the king Balak, he grew concerned, for he had previously lost to the Amorites in a proxy war. And now these desert nomads had come in from nowhere and mowed down their enemy with ease. So Balak called for a prophet to come and curse Israel. And that was his first mistake. Balaam was summoned, for he was found to be a prophet of the Lord. Balaam means not of the people, foretelling of who the character he really was. Even though he was a prophet of the Lord, he wasn't for the people. Balak knew that whomever Balaam blessed was blessed, and whomever he cursed was cursed. And this is in contrast to what God has declared in Genesis 12, verse 3, that God would bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. Here, Balak is attributing the power of God to the prophet Balaam. God revealed to Balaam that these were blessed people. And so Balaam knew that his hands were tied in trying to curse them. It would be to no avail. Balaam was holding true to the Lord at this time, it appears. But then he makes a very critical error. Balaam went with King Balak's men when God hadn't instructed him. He went on his own accord. He used his own guidance system rather than God's guidance system. And of course, it was Balaam's donkey who had to be the brains of this pair. For those that are well acquainted with this account, they know that three times the donkey tries to steer him away from the angel of the Lord, a pre-incarnate vision of Jesus himself. Because we know later on he would bow down to it, and this angel didn't rebuke him for bowing down. And three times Balaam strikes this donkey in anger because it keeps turning away. It's not doing what he's asking. And there is a parallel in the New Testament to this. If you think of Peter, three times he denies Christ, and in every time he denies him, he grows angry to those that are accusing him of being a follower of Christ. And after the third time, he has remorse. He repents. He feels guilty for what he has done. Balaam, too, was remorseful when the donkey spoke, and Balaam finally saw that there was an angel of the Lord in front of him, that this donkey was actually much smarter than him and trying to lead him away from danger. And for a time, it seems as though this prophet Balaam smartens up. God told Balaam to now go. Now he was to go with King Balak and to speak whatever the Lord speaks to him. And we read in this account that three times Balak asked Balaam for a judgment on the Israelites. He wanted him to curse them. And three times Balaam built an altar to God and sacrificed oxen and sheep to receive God's word as instructed. The first time in chapter 22, verse 39, is at a place called Kirjath-Huzoth, which means a city of streets. So this was on ground level. They're looking out at the Israelites that are before them, and he's supposed to curse them. The second time is in chapter 23, verse 14 of Numbers, at a place called Pisgah, which is a cleft on a hill. So now they're at a higher elevation, looking out again at the Israelites, and he's supposed to curse them. And the third time is in chapter 23, verse 28 at Peor, a cleft on a mountain. So now they're at even a greater elevation, a higher place, looking down. And he is supposed to curse them. This parallels with another New Testament account, and that being of the tempting of Jesus in the wilderness. For the devil first tries to tempt him on ground level, asking him to make that rock into bread. He then takes him to a higher level, to the pinnacle of the temple, and then finally to a mountain. The level of the devil's temptation always goes up. But Jesus, as God, couldn't be tempted and refuted Satan. And Balaam, too, he knew that he could not deny God. He had already denied him with his donkey, and now he knew that he couldn't deny him again. And so in all three times, when he's supposed to curse Israel, he blesses them. And you almost have a little bit of hope for him. You think, oh, maybe he's on the right track now. He might be restored, kind of like Peter being restored three times. And yet, we know that in the end, he once again walks away from the Lord. But in this account, King Balak, felt defeated, and so he sends the prophet Balaam away. And Balaam makes this last, before leaving, he makes this last prophecy, which I read, and I'll reread in Numbers 24, verses 12 to 17. And Balaam said unto Balak, speak I not also to thy messengers, which thou sendest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own, but what the Lord saith that I may speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are opened has said. He has said which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. Balaam, he was in the presence of the Almighty God, and he had this vision. And he says, I see him, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. He goes on to the end of the chapter to pronounce judgment upon the enemies of Israel, those that would curse Israel and not bless Israel. In the end, these three times that Balaam blessed Israel sadly might have been the only shining moments in his life. Although he received revelation from God, he was truly a financial prophet, and I would say prophet with an F, rather than a righteous prophet. He too would later be judged and die for his unrighteousness, as recorded in Numbers 31, verse 8, and he would die with the enemies of Israel. But what we can take away from this account is that God is always in control. He can use a donkey. He even used an unfaithful prophet to bless his people. And we are called to follow after the star, after the Messiah Jesus. Make him our guiding light in our lives. And then not to go upon our own accord and not to look back once we've looked at started looking at that and following that star. And if we have at times in our lives felt distance from God or fallen away or have disobeyed his calling, following our own path, may we turn back to the Lord. Turn back to Jesus as Peter did. For God is willing to forgive and to restore us back to a right relationship, not desiring for any to be lost. May we be as the Magi, who waited, looked, and followed the star, knowing this prophecy from long ago. They followed no matter the distance nor their terrain, following the only way to salvation and righteousness, by faith in Jesus alone. And may we, during this Christmas time, look to bless others as God has blessed us. Bless and not curse. For great is the reward of those who've received the free gift, the gift of salvation through Jesus. May the Lord bless you as we look for the star and scepter's return.